It's great going through the book of Jonah, isn't it? Jonah, the prophet of God, was ordered by God to go to Nineveh and proclaim judgment against it. We see that in Jonah chapter 1, verse 2. We've studied how Nineveh was the capital of Assyria, a big city and a wicked city, evil. Enemies of Israel, enemies of Jonah's people. Jonah doesn't want to go there. He doesn't care for these people. And there are people we don't care for probably in this world, but we are to share with them. They are evil and hate Israel, but God loves them. God wants to use his servant to preach to the Ninevites in order that they would repent of their sin and turn to God, Jehovah God, be saved. It's all about God's love for the lost. God loves the lost. That's why Jesus came, for the lost. Our calling today as Christians is to preach to sinners. Jonah boards a ship, headed in another direction. A storm came, breaks the ship apart, breaking it apart. Jonah gets a chance to share with the sailors about his God, and they acknowledge him. We read that in Jonah 1, the end of Jonah 1, how they acknowledge his God. God is using Jonah and all of this to bring people to himself. They throw Jonah overboard. God prepared a great fish to swallow him. He was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, the great fish. Dark, lonely place. Now, Jesus quoted from the book of Jonah, Matthew 12. So we know he was in there 3 days and three nights. Jesus said he was. And Jonah, in chapter 2, verse 9, Jonah comes to his senses and says, salvation is of the Lord. And how true. God is our deliverer, our salvation. He's our help. And so God spoke to the fish, and that's where we ended last week. He spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. How horrible. When he says he vomited, I wonder what else came up with Jonah. He's got to look awful and smell awful. Our God is the God of second chances. And more. Maybe he's given you a third or a fourth. God is gracious, merciful, and compassionate. Many men of God were given second chances. God gives us a chance to repent, confess. You know, Jonah was given a second chance. What about Abraham? He blew it, was given a second chance. God used him mightily. What about David? Don't feel bad if you feel you've strayed. Come back. David, you see, the servants of the Lord may fail, but God never fails. And he still will use his servants. He always has. He chastises them, and he uses them. He desires to use us to proclaim his love for people. We're probably the worst thing God could have used because we have our own nature. But he chose to use us to share God's love. Isn't that awesome? You know, the Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. You know, you read that and you say, wow. He did a lot of things that weren't right. But he loved the Lord. He repented. He failed. He sinned. But he remained a servant of the Lord. But he reaped what he sowed. And that's what we do. We reap what we sow. He suffered, but he repented. You know, Jonah, officially called a prophet, but individually, he failed. He's got lessons to learn. But God has called him to go to Nineveh. That gives us all hope. We can all be used by God. Don't eliminate yourself. Be used by God. God dealt with him. Now God gives him a second chance. I would encourage us all, obey God's calling on your life. Obey it. Or else it's going to be trouble. Don't go out without God's anointing, but do go out with what God tells you to do. Don't go out in the flesh. Go out and do what God calls you to do. But don't go out without his anointing on you. Like Moses said, I'm not going unless you go before me, God. You need to lead these people out. You know, if you have disobeyed, rebelled, sinned, ignored God's command to you, and God is dealing with you, and only you know, I would encourage you to repent. Don't make excuses. Pray and obey God. And know this, God will not let go. He will persist. You never win with God. If he's called you to do something, do it. Don't eliminate yourself. Be wise. God still requires the same thing of you that he required at first. He doesn't change his mind. He'll deal with you, but he's not going to change his mind. That's what's happening to Jonah here. You see, verse 1 of chapter 3, the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying. So we're going to hear God speak to Jonah a second time. Now, what's it going to be? Oh, I can see, Jonah, you don't really want to do that, so don't bother with it. Go back home. Is that what God's going to say? God spoke. The word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, you know, God loves his people, and he loves the lost who aren't his people. And he uses us to get to them. Jonah's gone through a horrible situation. But God is not going to change. What does he tell him to do in verse 2? Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. He so loves wicked sinners. He's going to give them a chance to repent. And apparently Jonah was the guy in this day to go and do it. And he says, you're going to do this because he loves these people. He's going to give Jonah a second chance to do it. You know, how the Bible says in Romans 10, how will they believe if they do not hear? People have to hear the truth, and it comes from God's people. God is good, and he is going to get his word out. Notice the command is the same to Jonah. I wonder if the fish vomited him to dry land, Jonah was thinking, whew, I got out of it. That was tough, but at least I don't have to go. And so the Lord speaks again. Oh, no, it's God. What's he going to say? Go to Nineveh, preach to it the message that I tell you. Oh, man. God doesn't change. Pouting won't change God's command to us. It's not like a child and a parent. Complaining won't work. Rebellion won't work. What is Jonah going to do? So Jonah, but you notice this in verse 2? Go to Nineveh, preach to it what? The message that I tell you. Remember that. Go wherever you go and tell them the message that I tell you. We don't have to sit up all night figuring out what we're going to say to them. We just need to pray and ask God for wisdom. He says, go and tell them the message that I tell you. Because if he wrote a message, it probably would have been pretty harsh. And maybe not the way God wanted it to be shared. Jonah obeys this time, verse 3. So Jonah arose, went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a three-day journey in extent. He's making progress. He didn't run. With our life, sometimes it's baby steps, isn't it? Progress, progress, progress. He arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now it tells us Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a three-day journey in extent. So he's fresh from the fish's belly. I can't imagine how he looked and smelled. I'm sure he doesn't want to eat fish anymore. He went, though. He was obedient, but not broken yet. We're going to see that again next week. Because we can go, obey the Lord, and say, okay, I'll do it. But God wants, thank you, Lord. I look forward to doing it. There's a difference. Doing it, being angry and miserable, or doing it because you love the Lord. He obeys. He went to Nineveh, according to God's word. Exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey. This could mean either walking around it or through it. It's not sure what it means here. But it was a large city, probably like our city today. They have all the suburbs, and it takes a while to walk through it all. And so that's what he decided to do. It may include, you know, many areas which covered this city, a great area, 3 days' journey, probably to walk through it or around it. And on the first, as he began to enter the city, on the first day he starts, what God told him to do, to enter the city on the first day's walk, he cried out and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. I don't see any more than that. You know, many words doesn't always make a message better. Probably people in the seats say, amen. You don't have to talk that long. I love it. Be honest with you. Sometimes when you're hearing something great and there's a point and you really love it and you want to leave on that, I don't mind if it ends right there where it's exciting. We don't have to sit down. There's no pressure on teaching God's word. Your own sermons, maybe there is, but you got to fill in time, get a lot of filler in there. It's like those, when you're given those tests in school to write essays or different things and make it, 850 words, the, but, and, or, and you're really working at it to fill up the number of words. That's not like the ministry. Make your point. So he enters the first day, starts preaching to the city, and you notice what it said in verse 2, preach to it the message that I tell you. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Now, if he shared more after that, I don't know. Could have explained things to the people. But it had to start with the message that God gave him. You have 40 days and you're overthrown. Right to the point. God's judgment upon them in 40 days. Due to their evil ways, as we'll see in another verse. They were evil. And they knew what he meant. Apparently, they've heard of Jehovah God. But what we will see here is the power of God and the power of his word. We can't take the message away from God. Many people like to do that. The power is in God. Remember, verse 2, God said, preach to it the message that I tell you. Pastors, teachers, evangelists, preach the message that God gives you. You don't need any fillers. God will destroy you in 40 days. The power is in God, in His Word. We don't have to come up with many words and our own ideas. What a message. 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. People today might say, where's the love, man? Where's the love? God says, turn and you go to heaven. Because you're headed for hell. Jonah is preaching truth. Jonah shared what God told him to. He's just the messenger. He doesn't mind being very short with his message because he doesn't want to do this at all. He's probably thinking, they're never going to get that. 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. I don't mind saying that. They'll still stay bad and God will destroy them. But boy, when you use God's word, it's sharper than a two-edged sword. We are to share God's word and not our own concerning salvation. Precisely God's word, and not judge of what we should share or not share. I'm guilty of this in the past. You're going to talk to someone or family, and you kind of think about what you're going to say because you don't want to cause any waves. Oh, they wouldn't like to hear this, or maybe this would be too harsh. You ever go through that? That's not what we're called to do. Not called to analyze. We never know how God's prepared the other side. Jesus said in Mark 1:15, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. That's it. Repent and believe in the gospel. Because repentance and faith are required. It says the same thing in Matthew. The people of Nineveh understood this blunt message. Isn't that amazing? Repent. That's what he's really saying. 40 days and you're going to be overthrown. They knew why, because we'll see down below, because they were evil and they didn't believe. The people of Nineveh believed God, verse 5. So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed the fast, put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. Wow. That's awesome. They believed. They knew Jehovah God was speaking through Jonah. A man that didn't want to be there. Probably didn't speak in a very good tone. But he shared what God said to share. They knew Jehovah God was speaking through him. He was not charismatic. Didn't look nice. Wasn't cool. He must have looked awful. Probably sickly. Pale. And people may have asked, where have you been, Jonah? Well, in his fish for 3 days. Remember the Bible said, Jesus said Jonah was a sign of his resurrection? Well, maybe the way he looked was a sign. Wow, he's coming back from the dead. A literal sign. God was in this. He called Jonah to do this, and he gave Jonah the message. This is what I want you to say. That's what we need to be sure we do in our ministry. It doesn't mean the message of God will be received well. Might not. We can never measure if we were fruitful or not by the way something was received. First time somebody told me I wasn't good and I wasn't going to heaven, I was angry. But it stuck. And then I believed. There's always anger first. That's good. I don't like those that are just lukewarm or could take it or leave it. You know, at least when a person gets angry, you know something's happened. It hit them. That's the way it was with me. It's not always going to be received well. We can't worry about that. You can't make it nicey-nicey. Everybody can leave here happy. And lost. Isaiah, Jeremiah, the prophets were rejected, weren't they? For what? For proclaiming God's word. But always faithful to speak God's word. those who reject won't be able to say they never heard. They won't be able to say that. Well, somebody warned me about hell and how to get to heaven. I didn't listen. Stick to the word. They believed God. Jonah just spoke. He was a sign. And they acted on their belief. Look what they did in verse 5. They proclaimed a fast, put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. They believed when Jonah spoke. They proclaimed a fast. They put on sackcloth. It was a sign of sorrow, like a sign of repenting, from the greatest to the least, from the ruler to the servant of all the people. Everyone. The message from God didn't just reach a certain class or age group or gender. It reached the people of Nineveh from greatest to the least. It was not a targeted message. It was God's message. It wasn't just for the young. It wasn't just for the old. It was God's message. Messy-looking preacher didn't want to do it in the first place. No music, no announcing before time, no preparation, no charisma, no strategy, no fancy place, just the Word of God. The way God wanted it shared. Isn't that great? Not too expensive to do it that way, is it? The people of this evil city responded and they repented. They acted on the repentance. Verse 6, the word came to the king of Nineveh. He arose from his throne and laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. The king of this great city repented. He humbled himself, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. What did he do? He believed. He repented just like the rest of the people. He knew what he had to do and to be an example to his people. That word was powerful. Good news of encouragement for us. You and I, Christian, can preach God's word, the gospel, because we know it and we have it. We can all be used. No one can say, well, I don't know what to share. Well, we can share. We don't know how long you're going to live, but if you die like this, you're going to hell. It's more or less what Jonah was saying. Or share the Bible with them. Jesus said, repent and believe. You must be saved from your sin. God loves you and I so much, he sent his son to die for us so we could go to heaven. And everybody needs to know that. They don't have to go to hell. They can go to heaven. Isn't that wonderful? We can all go to heaven if we believe. It's true. This is what our country needs. Repentance. Turning to God from the top to the bottom. A humbling. We need holiness. We need godliness. People need to see Jesus in us, his love. We need to turn from our wicked ways. Let's turn to 2 Chronicles 7:14. 2 Chronicles 7:14. How to heal a nation. If my people, we Christians, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and heal their land. Isn't that what Jonah's doing here? Isn't that what the way they responded? Here's a way to heal our nation, but it's got to start from top to bottom. Humble ourselves and pray. And seek God's face. And turn from our wicked ways, and we will hear from heaven. He will hear from heaven, and he will forgive. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have a worldwide revival if all leaders would do this? Wow. Just humble ourselves and pray. Wow. the power of God and His Word. It changes lives. We cannot ignore God's Word and think we're going to be healed. Won't happen. We need a humbling. The power of God. I think today we hinder God, the Holy Spirit, from causing a great revival because of our interference, our way of reaching people on our own understanding. We studied Wednesday night, don't lean on your own understanding. Always acknowledge Him. I think we lean on our own understanding in so many things, even in religious circles. We run churches like businesses today. We use our own understanding rather than the power of the Holy Spirit. And I think we hinder God's cause. God knew He was choosing a stubborn prophet. And he wasn't going to add more to what God told him to say because he didn't want to share at all. So when God tells him to share just these few words, he's the guy that would do that. Well, I don't want to do this anyway. I'll do that. One line's okay for me. You see? Less of us and more of God. Acts 4:13, if you'd like to turn there, please. Acts 4:13. Acts 4:13. I think we'd have to agree the revival or the church building up in the first century through the book of Acts was the greatest revival of all time. Millions came. And look at Acts 4:13. Now when they saw that the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled because they were causing people to come to the Lord. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. Are you uneducated and untrained? Praise the Lord. You qualify. We don't let our education get in the way. God used them. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 1. Paul speaking. Would you say Paul was very fruitful? And he writes, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God, but I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, in much trembling. My speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." People have to say, "Wow, that was the power of God." We need to walk away from church or from meetings or whatever is going on and say, "Wow, did God speak?" Not was this great or that great or did you see that or see that. No, we need to walk away and say, "Wow, the power of God. Wow, I've changed. His word hit me." So we don't want to add too much to what God wants to do because then your focus is on those other things. The power of God. Here, a whole great city repented. We see people come to the Lord in our day. Many people come to the Lord in our day. But I wonder how many with true repentance. How many are emotional decisions? Because as I look at the world, I look at this country, I don't see a great influence of Jesus. I don't see many young people coming to Christ. See, I wonder how many are really falling on their knees and having changed lives Because when a person is born again, there'll be a changed life. You won't fit into the world anymore. Your home will be in order. Love will be in your life. The fruit of the Spirit will be evident. People must be aware of God's judgment of heaven and hell and must be born again, that we need to share the whole gospel. Back to our text, verse 7. And it caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water. Hey, we're fasting. We're going to focus on God. We need to get right. We don't want to perish. Salvation is of utmost importance in our lives because we're all going to die or be taken in the rapture. People say, well, when I'm on my deathbed or when I'm older, I'll receive Christ and change my life. You may not have a chance to do that. So verse 8, let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Cry out to God. You notice, there's nothing about Jonah here, the preacher. They immediately saw God. Now, Jonah so stood out, they could have been talking about Jonah. Did you see that guy? Did you see that prophet? Did you see that person that was teaching and preaching? Wow, man, he looked awful. Man, what a powerful message. Nothing about that. It's all about God. He was just a horrible-looking instrument. It was God's word that was the power. And cry mightily to God, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Hey, everyone, do this. Cry out to God, the king, including himself. What did Jonah proclaim? 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Isn't that awesome? What God can do with a few words. If you're just totally surrendered to God and just share his word. Here's a couple things about the message that people, you know, when people prepare messages today, they usually have a few bullet points, that things you got to include in there, you know. One is hope, one is good news, you know. There was no hope. There was no good news. He didn't say that they wouldn't be overthrown, no matter what they did. He just said in 40 days you will be. He didn't say, but unless you do this. That's not in his message. You see the power of God in his word, why it's so important we stick to God's word? Sometimes we can lean on our own understanding and share the gospel in a way we want to share it. We don't have to. I love God's word because my sermons, my messages are already written. Isn't that wonderful? It's like cheating on the test. Here's the answers. I have my messages. 40 days, no hope. No good news offered them in this message, just overthrown and judgment. That caused them, I would say that's a fire and brimstone message. What would you say? Well, people wouldn't accept the fire and brimstone message today. Are they different than the people of Nineveh? Mm-mm. Their sin caused mourning and fasting. They believed God, they repented. And it changed their society. Isn't that wonderful? When people turn to God, things get better. Doesn't take a lot of programs. Just turn to God. Verse 8, let every man cry mightily to God, turn from your violence. And then the king tells them in verse 9, who can tell if God will turn and relent, turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish? Who can tell? Well, this was a wise king. See, he wasn't promised anything. There was no good news in this message. None. No good news at all. But the king says, Who can tell? Maybe God will have mercy on us if we do this. We don't know. Who can tell? Maybe he'll relent from his fierce anger over our sin so that we may not perish. They weren't told to do this. He just says, maybe if we do this, God will change. But they weren't told to do it. This is an amazing message, isn't it? About Jonah. When you look at it, wow, it so changes our thoughts on how to share the gospel, how to preach, how to evangelize. It's like Jonathan Edwards, the old evangelist. I probably heard of him, this message, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, beginning of our country. Says he was not very charismatic, looked at the word, the Bible, preached, just shared. But that message was so powerful that people in the pews had to hold down to the pew in front of them for fear of falling down because it was knocking people over. It was just God's word. We're not there anymore. It's good to read about some of those old revivals that turned our country around in the beginning. They weren't told to do this. They knew Elohim, Jehovah God, was real and serious. At least today, a person is given the assurance of salvation. We have a benefit today. We're told, if you do this, you will go to heaven. That's more than they had. Wouldn't you say we're better off? Well, if you say, I don't know, then you don't know what Jesus said, because he says, you're better off today. Let's turn to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, verse 29. And while the crowds were thickly gathered together, he began to say, this is an evil generation. It seeks a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah the prophet. For as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites, so also the Son of Man will be to this generation. The Queen of the South will rise up in the judgment with the men of the generation and condemn them, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and indeed a greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh will rise up in judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and indeed a greater than Jonah is here, Jesus. He says, boy, they'll have a reason to get upset with you because you have a better chance because Jesus is here. And they didn't have that chance. But God did spare them. But I love that where the king says, who can tell? Hey, who can tell? God just might do that. Maybe he'll turn and relent, turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish. And what happened? God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Isn't that a great end to the story? One little message changed the city. All ages. Awesome. But it's all about God and his love for man. And all we are is instruments or vessels to just take this word and share it with other people. And the less we add to it, the better off we are. God relented. He did not destroy them. Nineveh was spared for some 150 years. And guess what? They got into evil again. But for 150 years, they stayed with the Lord. For us, don't give up on people, evil people, people we don't like. Pray for them. And if God speaks to any one of us, share with them. I would encourage you to do it. And keep it short. Don't stay up all night trying to figure out what you're going to say. Jesus said, I'll tell you what to say, he told his disciples. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your great love for us. We pray that we would be worthy of our calling. We pray today this message encourages us. We do know enough to share. Help us, Lord, to do that when we have opportunity. And most of all, to be in prayer and turn from our wicked ways and seek your face. Lord, how wonderful we have it today. We have Jesus. We have the Holy Spirit. We thank you for that. And if anyone, Lord, is in that place of indecision, save them today. Make your word alive. Heaven and hell are real. Life and death are real. As you encourage your people, choose life. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.